space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 4th of February 2019. I'm Neil De Silva and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. On today's show, we are going to be chatting more about processed foods. So on last week's show, we discussed the dangers of processed foods and we're going to continue that discussion this morning. We have a guest interview today. We have my special guest, Sarah Lawrence. Good morning, Sarah.
Morning, Neil. Morning, everyone.
And how are you this morning?
Oh, great. Yeah, fantastic. It's lovely to be here.
And Sarah is from a company called After the Storm. And in about 20 minutes, we will find out more about what Sarah does, her journey, and how she might be able to help you as well. And then towards the end of the hour, we will be talking about belly fat. So this isn't the fat, the wobbly bits that people have. It's actually the fat that you can't see. And we're going to talk more about the dangers of that particular type of fat. So before we start the show, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the topics that we discuss. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. So, processed foods. On last week's show, we spoke about the dangers of processed foods. And I said to you, I had 9 reasons why we should avoid processed foods and the dangers that they actually cause to our health. So last week we covered the first 4 areas and it was actually quite interesting how processed foods has crept into our diets in the last 20, 30 years. And many people actually take them for granted. It's just part of their daily diet, but they are incredibly damaging to the body. So the first reason, if you recall, was the fact that most processed foods are high in sugar and high in high fructose corn syrup. The second reason is they are engineered for overconsumption. So yes, our processed foods in our diet, they are actually engineered. They are scientifically created to make us want more of them. The third reason was that they can be full of artificial ingredients, which is not particularly good for you, not particularly good for the body, and they can be very addictive as well. So those were the first 4 reasons for staying away from processed fruits. So processed foods are often high in refined carbohydrates. So carbohydrates over the last few decades have been vilified. And there are many diets out there that are low-carb or no-carb diets. And for point of reference, I don't agree with those. But the problem with processed foods is they will contain a lot of carbohydrates generally, but they will contain very simple and refined carbohydrates. So carbohydrates come in many forms, and there's carbohydrates in a piece of broccoli, for example, and equally there are carbohydrates in a chocolate bar and processed foods. And the way they act on the body are completely different. So when you consume foods that are high in refined carbohydrates or simple carbohydrates, and these are carbohydrates that have a very short molecular structure, then they get absorbed into the bloodstream really quickly. And that can lead to cravings for more, effectively, more glucose, more sugar. And then you're on this phenomenon called the blood sugar roller coaster. And you're going up and down, your blood sugars are going up and down, you're craving carbohydrates, you're getting all that hormone release that junk food and processed foods release into the body. You know, dopamine, the feel-good hormone, is triggered by these simple carbohydrates. But these simple carbohydrates cause a lot of negative health effects. They can be they can lead to many chronic diseases, things like diabetes and certain types of cancers and other health issues and cardiovascular issues. So these simple carbohydrates, which are abundant in processed foods, are actually incredibly damaging to the body. But interestingly, food manufacturers are now plastering on their labels things like whole grain and natural grains and things like that. Now, whole grains are a complex, or they are formed of complex carbohydrates, so they get digested by the body much slower than their simple carbohydrate counterparts. But what they don't tell you, particularly in cereals, when they use whole grains or supposedly whole grains, these whole grains have been pulverized into a very fine flour. Now, once you take a whole grain or you take a complex carbohydrate and you break it down, it actually has the same effect on your body as a simple carbohydrate. So food manufacturers arguably are a little bit deceptive in some cases when it comes to the packaging of their foods. So again, it comes down to learning how to read food labels, looking at your ingredients, and not falling for the traps that they lay out. Another reason that processed foods are not particularly good for you is they tend to be low in actual nutrients themselves. And when these foods are low in nutrients, what the manufacturers sometimes do is they replace these with synthetic vitamins and synthetic minerals to make it sound healthier than perhaps it is. And I'd argue that at best, they're not very bioavailable, i.e. your body doesn't really absorb them that well. At worst, long term, and there are no long term studies about these synthetic vitamins and minerals, potentially they have the scope to cause you health issues as the years go by. And I'd argue actually a lot of meal replacement shakes fall into this category where they purport to be healthy, but actually when you look at the ingredients and Google the ingredients, they're not actually as good for you as you might think they are, or they are being marketed to you by. And they will be full of vitamins and full of minerals, but when you actually look at where the sources come from, they're not natural sources. They're often synthetic. And synthetic nutrients are not a good replacement for the nutrients that are found in proper food, which is why I don't agree with dieting. I don't agree with all these meal replacements and all these synthetic, very low-calorie diets, because actually you're replacing the vitamins and minerals that you'd find in normal food and natural foods with synthetic replacements, and that's not particularly good. So how do you get around that? Well, you know, eat whole unprocessed foods. Look at the food labels. Anything with more than 5 or 6 ingredients is classed as being processed. So try and buy foods that are as unprocessed as possible. Okay, so when you eat a lot of these processed foods, you will get less vitamins, you will get less minerals, you'll get less antioxidants, and you'll get less of the really important trace nutrients that we need in our diet. But again, if you opt for processed foods, you're going to get the synthetic versions, and at worst, there'll be nothing in there at all. Processed foods are also very low in fibre. Now, when they create processed foods, a lot of fibre is taken out, especially the soluble, fermentable fibre. So soluble fibre is really good for us, and the fermentable fibre is really good for our gut bacteria as well. And processed foods generally will have a lot less of fibre in them than unprocessed whole foods like fruits, oats, vegetables, brands. And these are really important in our diet because these act as a prebiotic. So they feed our friendly bacteria in our gut, of which it's been estimated that we are outnumbered by our gut bacteria by about 1 to 10. So there's about 10 trillion human cells and about 100 trillion bacterial cells. And the health of our gut bacteria massively influences our overall health, particularly our immune system. And when you eat fibre, you're actually feeding these guys. You're helping them to reproduce. You're helping them to populate your large intestine, and you're not only are you helping them to do their job properly. So when they feed on the fibre, their byproducts are the things that keep us healthy. Without going into too much detail, but also down in your gut there is a constant battle for gut space between the good guys and the bad guys. And yes, all of us have bad bacteria in our gut. But a healthy gut flora will have a more good than bad. And so there's this constant battle down there for space. And by giving by having lots of fibre in your diet, you're actually feeding your gut bacteria. You're encouraging them to be healthy, and it keeps the bad guys at bay. And also another reason why fibre is important is that fibre can slow down the absorption of these carbohydrates, and they can help you feel more satisfied with fewer calories, which, you know, if you have a bowl of vegetables, they pretty much fill you up. But if you had a bowl of refined carbohydrates, for example, cereal, then you will feel hungry quite soon afterwards. And fibre, again, can help with things like constipation. And constipation is a big problem, a common problem in today's society with today's diet. So get your fibre intake up and eat whole foods. Another reason is that processed foods, they require less time and energy to eat because they are obviously processed. They're easy to consume, they're easy to chew, easy to swallow. Sometimes it feels like they melt in your mouth. That isn't a good thing. So as I mentioned, most of the fibre has been taken out. The ingredients have been refined, and the ingredients that are actually in these processed foods don't resemble the whole foods that they came from. So these foods take less energy to eat, they take less energy to digest. They're actually digested and metabolized by your body in a much shorter space of time, which can lead to overeating. There's this thing called the thermic effect of food. And the thermic effect of food is a measure of how different foods stimulate energy expenditure after you eat. And if you eat a lot of processed foods, the thermic effect is actually quite low. And there's been some interesting studies that have shown that people that eat processed foods can cut the thermic effect of the food in half. So effectively, they reduce the amount of calories they burn throughout the day because their food takes less effort to metabolize and absorb. And finally, processed foods are often high in trans fats. So trans fats, hydrogenated fats, are actually really unhealthy for you, really damaging to the body. And processed foods often contain these cheap fats, and they're often made from refined seeds and vegetable oils like soybean oil. And these oils, as I mentioned, are really unhealthy. They often contain an excessive amount of omega-6 fatty acids. And omega-6, whilst you need them in your diet, you don't need that much. And actually, the omega-6 fatty acids can drive oxidation and inflammation in the body. And studies have shown that when people eat these oils, they have an increased risk of heart disease, which is a massive problem in our Western society. So the best way to avoid these seed oils is to eat real fats like coconut oil and olive oil instead. So hydrogenated fats are amongst the most unhealthy things that you can put into your body. So some takeaways there. Processed foods, generally not very good. If you want to find out more about the first four, then please do listen to last week's show. But there's some reasons there to stay away from them. Eat whole foods. And try to learn how to read your food labels, learn how to read an ingredients list, and try to eat the best quality whole foods that you possibly can. So after the break, we're going to go on to our guest interview with Sarah. And before then, we have a quick music break, and we have a great song by Justin Timberlake.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, the 4th of February. I'm Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping well out there. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. You can drop me a tweet there. You can follow the show's Twitter feed. If you're a Facebooker, then you can find the show's Facebook page if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. You can listen again to this show and all previous 50 shows at the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or you can follow the show's podcast on iTunes. Go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show. And as usual, if you'd like to contact me away from social media, you can do so via email via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So we have a few shout outs and a few mentions before we go on to our guest interview. Sue Wenman has contacted the show and she's asked for a shout out for Sue's community creche. So it's a community advent for parents that have problems getting childcare. So Susan has said, if you'd like to contact her, she's got a Facebook group. So if you go to Facebook and search Sue's community creche, you'll be able to follow her on Facebook, but you can also contact her via email, which is susanwebman01@gmail.com or phone 07946 621 257. David Mayhew, good friend of mine, David runs first aid courses and he's running an emergency first aid at work course and a paediatric first aid course. The next level 3 course is at Star Meadow Sports Club on the 2nd of April. It's £45 per person. And I've actually been on this course. I went on it last year. Excuse me. And trust me, £45 for the day's course is amazing value for money. And they're also running this level 3 accredited paediatric first aid course at Gillingham Golf Club and the Star Meadow Sports Club, which is £70 a person. The places on the courses are quite limited. And if you'd like to contact David, his website is www.targetfirstaid.com. Or you can phone 01795 873 814. Colleen Rawlings. Now, Colleen came on my show a couple of weeks ago, and Colleen is from Fernleaf Hypnotherapy. Good morning, Colleen. And she is a results-driven hypnotherapist. Her website is www.hypnotherapy-kent.uk. And a good friend of mine I've not seen for a while, actually, Tricia. Good morning, Tricia. Tricia Wood. Hope you're keeping well, Trish. Her website is trishwood.com. And she is an energy artist and healer. And she is at the moment making unique Valentine heart pendants. So we're coming up to Valentine's Day. So perhaps it's a good gift to give to your loved ones. And a final shout out for a good friend of mine, John Nicholson. John runs a company called Community Driving School. And the Community Driving School, the CDS, they change lives by bringing people that need driving lessons. They provide these driving lessons through sponsorship. So people that can't afford to get mobile themselves, John actually helps people to get back into work and training by providing them with driving lessons through sponsorship and support from the local community and businesses. So John's website is www.thecfordcharliedfordeltasforsierra.org.uk. Okay, so on to our special guest interview of the morning. As I mentioned, we have Sarah Lawrence from After the Storm. Good morning, Sarah.
Morning.
It's great to have you on the show this morning. And I'm really looking forward to going through your interview because you have a really interesting backstory. And as we were talking between pieces during the song a moment ago, there is a common theme that runs through all my guests, and it's their journey has taken them to where they are now. So whatever people talk about, they've kind of been through it themselves. And I think it gives them a lot of authenticity. And as we'll go through Sarah's interview, you'll see what I mean, because Sarah's story is really interesting. Sad at times, I'm sure you'd agree, Sarah.
Yeah.
But that's led to where you are now and how you're helping people. So let's start right at the beginning. What is your background? What's been your journey up to this point?
Well, interestingly, I mean, it's because of my backstory, as you say, that I've sort of skipped around. I was in financial services, believe it or not, quite a time. But I've recently, after going through what I've been through, decided actually that's not really what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Financial services wasn't really something I wanted to do as a child, as you can imagine. So I've retrained as a life coach, and I'm currently a trainee counsellor. And really, you know, as your listeners will find out, my backstory is all around infertility and not being able to have children.
Okay.
It's not the lightest of subjects, as mm-hmm. you can imagine.
Yeah.
But for me, going through what I've been through, it made me realise that getting connected with other people that have been through this issue is very important. And that's kind of why I left financial services behind and retrained and started looking into how I can get my story out there, connect with people, and make people who are going through this feel less alone, really.
So that was quite a change, wasn't it?
Huge, yeah. Yeah, it was actually, to be honest with you, it wasn't that long ago that I left financial services. I'm still kind of doing it a little bit, but mostly my focus is this. This is where I want to go.
So let's talk about where you are now then, and mm-hmm. talk about your journey, obviously, from this point onwards. You started your business, which is called After the Storm.
Yep.
So perhaps you'd like to tell us more about what After the Storm is about, why it's called After the Storm, and a little bit more about your story and obviously what's led you to this point, more on a personal level than anything else.
I think it's probably best to start with my story, really.
Yeah, okay.
So I've had a long, long history of basically problems with my health, really. And it all sort of came to a head when I turned 36. My partner and I decided that we very much did want children, albeit we were very late to the party. And we decided that actually, yeah, we're going to start doing this. But what we hadn't counted on, and I don't think a lot of people do count on this, you believe and you understand that having children is very easy. Mm. So it turned out not to be easy for us. And after the 3 years of trying, which sounds a lot, and in retrospect, I think we were kind of off and on with it because 3 years is a long time.
Yeah.
But at the end of 3 years, unfortunately, I had a miscarriage. And that proved to be the only pregnancy I ever had. And it wasn't until that point, I mean, up until that point, I'd had a lot of investigations. I'd been to a lot of experts to find out what was going on because I knew things weren't right. And it wasn't until then I actually got taken seriously. And after investigations, I was informed that I wouldn't be able to have children. And I had something called endometriosis, which is quite common.
Mm-hmm.
But I had stage four. And up until that point, I didn't realise there were stages.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, how many stages are there then? Four. So it was at its worst, basically.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, that's because it hadn't been picked up on sooner. But it's not a way that I want to think about it. I think bitterness lays that way if you think about it.
I agree, yeah.
So it's kind of like that was it, really. In a 10-minute consultation, our dreams of having a family were over pretty much, and that's really kind of where the name After the Storm comes from, because that wasn't kind of the end of my storm, if you like. That was almost like the beginning, because you have to go through this process of grieving a life that you thought you were going to have, realizing that your health is not really within your control, and getting to grips with the fact that who am I now then? Because as a woman, and you know, this does affect gents as well, but as a woman, I did find that it impacted on my sense of identity and my feelings of, you know, how feminine I was and my womanhood.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine that as a gent, that it probably has a fairly similar effect as well. If you are in a couple and you are essentially responsible for the fact that you're not going to be able to have family.
Yeah.
So for me, after the storm came about, really, after I'd sort of stormed with all of that, I'd dealt with my personal baggage, if you like. And that's where After the Storm comes from. That's the name. It's kind of, you will have to storm with yourself before you're able to move on. And that's kind of where it comes from.
Wow.
So, I mean, unfortunately, that wasn't the end of the story either. So strap yourselves in, people. there was more, unfortunately, for me. So after finding out I couldn't have children, my symptoms seemingly came back. But it actually transpired that I didn't just have endometriosis. I had something called adenomyosis, which is a little bit less known than endometriosis. So adenomyosis is actually quite similar, but it manifests in a different part of your body.
Okay.
So endometriosis sort of can go around the sort of trunk of your body inside.
So for those that are not aware of what endometriosis is, perhaps you can give a quick explanation.
So basically what happens is the cells from your womb migrate into the abdomen of your body.
Right.
And it can stick itself to certain other organs, basically. In my case, it had sort of stuck itself to my ovaries, my colon, my pelvis. In some people's cases, it can stick onto lungs, and it has been found in the brain in very rare cases.
Right.
The thing is, you can't tell those cells that they're not in the right place.
Okay.
So they will still behave as if they are within your womb, and so they will still bleed. And that will cause scarring, that will cause pain, and it will cause like stickiness. So I've been told that people with endometriosis, their internal organs are stickier than the average person.
Okay.
So it can cause things to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, me, it caused excruciating pain. I'm an avid runner, so I had to park all my running because it causes like a very, very sharp stabbing pain.
Yeah.
And that was because one of my ovaries had been pulled out of position. It basically got stuck to the pelvis and been pulled out. Extremely painful.
I can imagine, yeah.
So that's endometriosis. Mm-hmm. Now, adenomyosis is closely linked. It's actually the lining of the womb somehow gets into the muscle lining of the womb, and then the cells do the same thing. They proliferate and they bleed into the muscle of the womb. And if anything, if you can believe this, it's actually more painful than endo because it's going into the muscle of the womb. It causes back pain, it causes hip pain. And I, hand on heart, again, the running had to be parked, but even walking became an issue. So it's absolutely life-changing for some of us. And in the end, while I had some sort of little procedures to try and help with that, I ended up having to have a hysterectomy in November 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So just when I thought I was getting used to not being able to have children, along comes the hysterectomy and brings out all of that stuff again. And that's why I ultimately made the decision to jump from financial services into what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because it brought it all up again. And I thought, well, how many women are in this position where they're having something life-changing like a hysterectomy,
yeah,
not getting any support? Because I didn't have any support through my journey. Not once was I offered counselling or any sort of referral to an organisation that could help me. And so that very much for me brought it all up again, and I was storming again. And so for me, that was the life-changing event, really. And that was like, this is enough. I need to do something about this and go and help other people once I've dealt with my stuff, really.
And that's, I mean, that's quite a journey, isn't it? Over those 5 years between, trying to have children and then having the miscarriage.
Yeah.
And then obviously the diagnosis and then the hysterectomy. That's a pretty tough few years to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, and 5 years. It's only when you say 5 years, you think, blimey, that's not that long, is it, really? I mean, it really does feel as though it was whistle stop. And I know the people that I'm dealing with aren't necessarily going to have the same journey as me.
Yeah.
They won't. Some people will come to this sort of childlessness, and I don't like the word childlessness, but there isn't a better way of putting it, really. They will come through different ways. They will come because they've not met the right person,
mm-hmm.
or it might be cancer or something similar. So everyone's journey is different, but the ultimate end result is that they can't have the family they dreamed of. So really, my story is only one part of the picture.
Yeah.
And by sharing it, I'm hoping that people can take the little bits that they see similarities with and say, actually, you can help me because you do understand.
And as you said, you know, when you were going through these issues, there wasn't a support system, a support network out there for people like you.
The thing is, and this is very hard, because while you're going through your own thing, you think, I'm the only one going through this. And that's kind of almost backed up by the fact that experts don't know what to do with you. They don't know where to put you or refer you in a way.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So it almost reinforces the fact that you are doing it on your own.
Yeah.
But yeah, not once, not with the miscarriage, not with the obvious health problems I was having. And then obviously the hysterectomy, not once to be offered help is in my view, unacceptable.
Yeah, and you touched on the mental health side of it. So obviously, you know, what you've been through in terms of the endometriosis and what have you is more on the physical side, but it can't not have an impact on your mental health.
Oh, and, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, your mental well-being and potentially depression and things like that.
Yeah, anxiety, depression, all of the good ones, I have to say, all of the ones that ultimately make you feel absolutely less than.
Yeah.
And I see it time and time again. You know, I am networking online. I'm looking at where people like myself hang out. And there is an awful lot of groups on Facebook for anyone that is out there affected by this issue. You can find your clan, your tribe on Facebook, and they will help you and support you. But the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, when you're going through this and you're feeling not fantastic about yourself, you have to go looking.
Yeah.
Because that people will not refer you. So, and that's the sad case, really, because when you're feeling at your lowest, the last thing you want to do, potentially, is go looking. But there are people out there that can help you.
Yeah. So in 2016, you qualified as a life coach,
mm-hmm.
And you're now studying to become a counsellor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to help people with the same problems.
Definitely. So in my experience, I've not come across many, if any, counsellors that specialise in childlessness. There's quite a few out there for infertility,
mm-hmm.
But obviously part of the infertility is that you might, hopefully, fingers crossed for anybody out there that's going through this, you might ultimately end up with a child, which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But for those of us that don't, I wasn't able to find anybody that had been through what I'd been through that was able to offer counselling on the same, you know, to meet me on the emotional level that I needed. So my ultimate goal is, yes, I'm just doing the life coaching at the moment, but my ultimate goal is to be a counsellor and be able to offer that help and support from a position of knowing and having been there.
And that's quite an in-depth course, isn't it? It takes quite a few years to qualify as a counsellor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the first year of the diploma at the moment, trying to find a placement, but I cannot wait to get qualified because I really honestly believe that offering the support at this depth is something that is truly valuably needed.
Definitely, definitely. So fast forward into where we are now, how do you help people? In what ways do you help people? What services have you got at the moment that can potentially help people that are going through the same things now as you went through a few years ago?
So I do an awful lot of, I'm on Facebook. If you try and find me on Facebook, you can't miss me.
Right.
I do an awful lot of videos. So I do a daily video.
Yep.
And I'm talking really from a life coaching perspective, but very personal. So I will talk about something. For example, the other day I was talking about fear. And I think for us affected in this community, you've dreamt a dream for a long time and it's not come to fruition.
Yeah.
And it makes having a second follow-up dream either feel very sort of booby prize, second prize, or you don't know where to start. You're like, well, I dreamed this dream, didn't get it. So where do I go now? So fear, I think for us, is a big part of that. You get stuck very easily. So I talk about where I got stuck because I did get stuck before I started doing all of this. And fear can swallow you whole if you're not careful. This whole issue can swallow you whole. So for me, by sharing my story, I'm hoping that somebody out there, it will click with them. They think, oh, yeah, I can do this. I can apply this.
Yeah.
And it's simple little things you can do that make all the difference, really. So I do the videos. I do an awful lot of webinars as well. And this is all free content. You haven't got to pay for this. And I do a webinar with the creator of Well Childless Week, Stephanie Phillips.
Okay.
And we sort of talk with another lady, Berenice Smith. She does a blog called Walk in Our Shoes. And it's another place where people share their stories of how they came to be childless, not by choice. And we just have a chat, really. We set a generic, general, high-level topic, and we just have a chat.
Yeah.
And people come in and join us. It's not recorded. It's not put anywhere on the internet. So people can be as honest as they want.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some brilliant chats and some good laughs and some tears.
Yeah.
And I think for me that is what it's all about. It's connecting, being open and honest and kind of getting involved in the community so that we can all share, because we've all come to it at different ways.
And you also do running workshops, or you were doing running workshops last year?
Yeah, I did. Not one to shy away from controversy, Neil. I did a big one last year. So I've just started doing workshops because really it would be lovely to get people in a room who know that they're not going to be ambushed by something like a trigger. And that was really what the first topic was about triggers.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first got told that I couldn't have children, I basically shut myself away, and my comfort zone went from, as time went on, it went from something that was comforting to something that actually caused more trouble, because it meant that I didn't want to go out, I didn't want to be around people.
Mm.
The depression, anxiety became all encompassing. You know, for example, going out and being around people that have children, seeing someone else's success story is a massive trigger for people in my community, myself included. You know, I have triggers that I've got over, but I will have triggers, I think, for the rest of my life. I just got to learn to work around them.
Mm.
And that's kind of what the workshop's about, is about not trying to hide within your comfort zone, come out, but appreciate that you can learn to live around those massive triggers. And I had some really good feedback from it, actually. It kind of, we went from talking around the comfort zone, the triggers, and then we talked about what to move into in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And some people on there were sort of like, well, I've got this sort of holistic idea of what I want to do. And talking them into it, you just saw the joy sort of come out in their face. It was really, really gratifying. And one sort of lady said to me, I knew I had this goal, but I didn't know that I could actually go for it. I didn't give myself permission. And that really touches you, because you think, well, that's the first step, really, isn't it? Giving yourself permission to dream again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a big deal for me.
And you're gonna start the workshops up again this year?
Yeah, so they're starting again in April. Mm-hmm. The trigger one is going to be going again.
Okay.
I haven't chosen a venue or a place yet. I kind of want it to make it accessible for people.
Yeah.
So it might be one that I actually do online to make it easily accessible.
Yeah.
But there are going to be others as well that I'm presently writing, but they will be announced and sort of shown on the website and on Facebook.
Brilliant. So how can your services, obviously we've been through your story and how you've got to where you are, but how do your services help other people that are going through the same sorts of things?
I think really it's, in essence, I've kind of outed myself because I think as a community, we kind of stay a little bit hidden. There's a lot of, I think, it's a bit taboo, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my services really are being brave, sharing my story, and for people to see that they can connect and find their tribe again. A lot of the stuff I do is free for mm-hmm. a reason, because I don't think that just because you can't afford what I'm offering doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to benefit from it.
Yeah.
It's got to be accessible to everyone, because this issue affects people across communities, across social standings. It doesn't discriminate, basically.
And the feedback you had from the workshops from last year, I heard was quite good.
It was very good. It was really encouraging, actually, because it made me realise that this is going to work for people. It's going to help people. You know, I didn't want it to be a vanity project, but obviously when it's something that affects you,
mm-hmm.
it can very quickly become all about you and not about helping other people. And for me, at the very core of what I'm doing, it's got to help people.
Mm.
If it doesn't help people, if it doesn't land, then it gets scrapped.
definitely. So tell me more about your plans for 2019, and tell me more about the book. I'm intrigued about...
The book. Yeah, so I've got big plans for this year, I have to say. I think there's quite a few things, and there's going to be an awful lot of joint ventures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about the community and getting our word out there and basically trying to raise awareness. But for me, the book is... So part of the workshops I'm going to be doing is a 12-month program, taking people from absolute rock bottom to living their dreams. And I appreciate that not everybody wants to sit in a workshop or go online. They might want to have a book that takes them through the process.
Mm-hmm.
That they can carry around with them. So without giving too much away, it's basically almost like condensing down my 12-month workshops and making it easily accessible for people just to carry a book around with them.
Yeah. So a very exciting year ahead.
Oh, definitely. Big plans.
Fantastic. So who would be your ideal client? For the listeners out there, how would they identify with being someone that you could help?
Well, really, I mean, it's anyone affected by this issue.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term future is that I'm going to be working with anybody affected by this issue. I don't discriminate. So it's going to be, you know, men, women, people that don't even assign themselves a gender. Anyone that is affected by this issue, basically, is going to be able to work with me. I'm going to be working with couples as well, because obviously myself and my partner, I've got an insight on how it affects you as a couple.
Yeah.
And it does affect you differently. You know, my husband has dealt with things very differently to the way I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to be in the future working with a couple of gents that work within, one of the movers and shakers that work within our community,
mm-hmm.
Because there aren't many gents, I have to be honest. And so I'm hoping to do some work with them to help work with men. But pretty much I don't have an ideal client. Obviously you have to be affected by this issue.
Yeah.
And I think within a little, you have to want to get out of the space where you're feeling down and pretty awful about your experience.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to pick yourself up.
And often very isolated and feeling like there's no one else that you can talk to that can relate to you and relate to what you're going through.
Absolutely. I can put a hand on heart. I think one of the worst parts of this is the loneliness because you feel like you can't connect with anybody else, because I think it being taboo, there are levels of shame in there that you feel when you're affected by this issue.
Yeah.
Certainly if you are the one in the partnership or the person that hasn't met the person, you know, there is shame because there are expectations from your family and society that you will meet someone, you will go on to have a family. You know, there's these steps that you're meant to graduate through life, isn't there?
Yeah.
And if you don't do that and you don't adhere to what society sees as the normal, your family... it can be very shaming.
Yeah. Excellent. So if someone would like to, if people would like to get hold of you, Sarah, what's mm-hmm. the best route to get in contact with you?
Well, you can get on Facebook. If you come on Facebook, you can find me at Sarah Lawrence After the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the page where I share all my videos. But there's also a private group on there where we can talk. And you can say anything you like in there. People won't be able to see it on your feed, which is brilliant.
Yep.
And you can also get me on my email address, which is Sarah@sarahlawrenceonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to chat or you need to connect with anyone, feel free just to drop me a line. I'm willing and able to speak to anybody, basically.
And your website address is www.sarahlawrenceonline.com.
Yeah, it's not after the storm because there's going to be lots of projects coming up off of what I'm doing.
Excellent. So, exciting year ahead.
Definitely. I can't wait.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for coming on the show this morning. It's been really interesting to find out more about your background and your story. And it's really encouraging. I think the work that you're doing, being able to support people that have been through this or going through the same journey that you've been through, I think is really, really valuable.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks for inviting me on. Really appreciate it.
So after the break, we're going to continue talking about health-related subjects. We're going to have a quick chat about belly fat and how dangerous it can be and how to identify it. But we have a quick music break with a classic from the 70s, and it's Odyssey and Use It Up and Wear It Out. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 4th of February, 2019. If you'd like to get in contact with the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. And on Facebook, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's Facebook page. And you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And if you like to listen to the show's podcast, you can find the show's podcast on iTunes by searching the Health Matters Radio Show. So we're going to talk for a few minutes about belly fat. So as you're probably aware, there are two main types of body fat. You have subcutaneous, which is the fat between the muscle wall and your skin, and you have a hidden belly fat, often called visceral fat, that actually sits in the body cavity and sits around the organs. And arguably, an excess of subcutaneous fat is not particularly good for you and not particularly good for your health, but actually the fat that sits around the organs can be particularly dangerous for you. And lots more people I've noticed in are not particularly obese, but they have this thing called central obesity, which is an excess of fat around the organs. So central obesity is defined as a ratio of the waist circumference divided by the hip circumference. So if your waist line is bigger than your hip line, it can be an indication, and you're not necessarily overweight or obese, it can be an indication you're carrying a lot of fat around the organs. Now, this is often dictated to by the diet and our lifestyle. So if we eat lots of saturated fats and red meats and refined carbohydrates and junk food, and less things like fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains and seafood and poultry, then we have a propensity to have this condition that where we get a lot of fat around the organs. And actually, the health implications that surround central obesity are things like hypertension, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, colorectal cancer. And there's also links between central obesity and dementia as well. So it's quite a serious issue. And unfortunately, if someone thinks that they're not overweight, it can go undetected for a long time. So you need to look at this belly fat. If you've got fat around the central part of your body, and as I say, if your hip line is less than your waistline, then it might be worth talking to a specialist about it, because as I say, this actually can be quite dangerous to your body. So if you have this condition, then the focus should be about losing waistline or waist loss rather than weight loss. You might not need to lose much weight, but you might need to actually work on losing that abdominal fat. So if you want to lose this fat, you need to exercise more. So you need to decrease the sedentary lifestyle that perhaps you've got. And there might be simple things like doing 10 minutes of exercise every day, or walking more, or doing some stair climbing, ways where you can increase your muscle mass, your muscle strength, resistance training, and also looking at your diet, cutting out these refined carbohydrates, which often lead to this uneven distribution of body fat and this growth in fat around the organs. So just because you think you're of a normal weight doesn't mean that you're not at risk. And one of the dangers is that an excess of belly fat actually exposes the internal organs to lots of dangerous compounds. And it makes you, it can make you at higher risk of things like heart disease and cardiovascular events. So it's worth looking at. If you feel like your waistline is bigger than your hip line, even though you might not be particularly overweight, it might be something worth looking into. Because this fat, this visceral fat, can cause a lot of health issues as time progresses. The fat can release destructive compounds that can tamper with the internal organs of your body, particularly the liver as well. So it can affect cholesterol levels. It can also affect things like blood pressure, and it can lead to insulin resistance as well. But if you'd like to contact me about that condition, then you can do so through my website. So we're going to wrap the show up now. I'd like to thank Sarah one more time for coming on the show. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Neil.
It's been great to have you on the show. And if you'd like to come on the show as a guest and talk about what you do and how you can help people, as Sarah has done today, then please make contact with me via my website. After the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. And on next week's show, on the 11th of February, we have my special guest, Hazel Cake, from www.hazelcake.co.uk. And Hazel is a complementary therapist that helps to heal animals and their human friends. So that should be an interesting interview. So until the same time next week, I wish you a happy and healthy week ahead. And I'm going to play out with one last song. So have a great week. And if you'd like to contact me via my website or the show's Facebook or Twitter feeds, please do so over the next few days. So until next week, stay happy, stay healthy, and have a great week.
The heart is a blue. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought